I'm Alex Michelson. Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. The ballots are out. Many of you have voted. Most of you have not yet voted. And hopefully this week's show can help you become more informed as we get ready to close out the midterm elections on November 8th. We're going to talk about Proposition 30 in a moment. Polls show that's maybe the closest proposition on the ballot. That has to do with electric vehicles and Lyft and all that stuff. We'll get into that in a moment. But we begin, though, with Rob Bonta, who is the Attorney General of California, appointed that job about a year and a half ago by Gavin Newsom when Javier Becerra joined the Biden administration. He's running against Republican Nathan Hochman. We had Hochman on a few weeks ago. Now it's Bonta's turn. He joined us via Zoom this week. Mr. Attorney General, welcome back to The Issue Is. Good to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me, Alex.
You know, being an attorney is all about making a case. So real succinctly, what is your case about why you deserve to stay in this job?
Well, my superior experience for this role, my priorities, which are in line and in sync with the people of California, and my effectiveness, in short. And whether it be my vast experience working on state issues at the state level or as an elected official for over a decade and a half, working on all the issues that Californians hold dear, from public safety to housing to climate justice to healthcare to rights, including the right to reproductive freedom and the right to be free from gun violence, holding the powerful, including corporations and polluters, accountable when they violate the law. That's what my record is full of. That's what I've been doing. That's what I've been fighting for. I see the role as being the people's attorney, making your fights, people of California, my fight, standing by your side.
You know, we had him on. Of course, his take on experience is very different. He talked about what he sees as the biggest difference with you. Here's some of that.
I have 30 years of criminal justice experience as a federal prosecutor, a U.S. assistant attorney general, and a defense attorney. And Rob Bonta had 0 years.
How do you respond to that?
Well, let's talk about what he means and what he is specifically referring to when he says 30 years. He is a federal criminal tax defense attorney. He is for hire, paid to profit by alleged tax cheats who are seeking to get the lightest sentence possible. That's what he does. It's his job. It's what his experience that makes him most qualified for. That does not make you qualified to be the California Attorney General. It's, again, it's not a federal job. It's a state job. He has no state experience. It's an elected office. He has no elected office experience. We don't do criminal defense. We do criminal prosecution and hold people accountable. I have 25 years of experience working on law enforcement issues and criminal justice issues, actually working with sheriffs and sheriff's departments and sheriff's deputies, police chiefs, police departments, doing budgets. Of course, there's a spin that my opponent likes to have. I think his peddling of misinformation and disinformation would make Donald Trump blush. They're from the same party, so there's no surprise there. But I think the facts speak volumes, and I just laid out the facts.
Well, one of the things that he criticizes you for is your relationship with George Gascon. He says that he would take a lot of steps to sort of remove cases away from George Gascon. He points to this tweet that you put out in 2020. We want to put it up on the screen. Here's what it said. During the 2020 race, you said, "Proud to support George Gascon for Los Angeles County District Attorney. He's a powerful and courageous reformer who will infuse our criminal justice system with more compassion, humanity, and safety." Were you right about that? Is George Gascon doing a good job?
So at that time, I joined the majority of the voters of Los Angeles in supporting George Gascon and the promise that he presented as a candidate to fight for safety and justice and fairness. And there are many district attorneys throughout the state of California. I work with all of them. They all have different approaches and different perspectives, and I do it my way as well. I have my own approach and my own perspective and style, and it's different than everyone else's.
But George Gascon is not just one DA. He is the DA of Los Angeles County, 10 million people. One out of four people in California live in Los Angeles County. And there are some that say that his approach is too similar to your approach. And Hochman is saying that if you get him in there, he'll sort of be a check on George Gascon. What do you say to that criticism that the two of you are linked and that philosophy is the same?
That I think the facts are what you need to look at, and the facts don't bear that out. I would seek enhancements. I've said that time and time again, including enhancements on hate crimes, which are hard to prove, but when they're proven, the enhancement should be on the table and should be sought under the appropriate circumstances. So it's a very clumsy attempt to make the race about something that this is not about. I am the California Attorney General. There is no one who leads and approaches criminal justice like me. Even though there's an attempt to create a guilt by association, it falls flat. The facts don't justify it. I approach my work in my own individualized and unique way.
You have not done a TV debate with him. We've offered to host one here. I know other stations have offered to host one as well. I know you did a Zoom forum with the Sacramento Bee. Why not do a TV debate with him? And isn't it good for democracy for both people to see you debate each other?
I think debates are good for democracy. We've done two debates in this race, one in the primary. On video, still available, available on TV in real time, where questions were posed to all of the candidates and rebuttals were provided as well, provided real opportunity for robust debate, presented the stark contrast of the different candidates. And then we did it again in the general.
Let's talk about one of those issues, which I know you're really passionate about, which is the growing crisis of fentanyl. We have seen overdoses that are killing far too many Californians. In the simplest terms, what is your plan?
We've been at work on this issue for months and during my entire time in as Attorney General. I asked for and got a fentanyl task force, 25 new positions, $8 million in year one, $7 million approximately in year two, to take on the fentanyl crisis, to go after the manufacturers who are manufacturing fentanyl, the distributors that are bringing it into California and moving it around California. And, you know, we have been making arrests as well. Multiple arrests, over 200. We've seized over 1,000 pounds of fentanyl, taken 4 million pills off the streets. Every one of those pills represents someone who could be hurt or harmed or even killed. And so we're saving lives. We're taking on fentanyl. We're using our resources and prioritizing and moving the needle and making a difference every day.
Another issue you're dealing with, that racist conversation between LA City Council members. You're looking at whether there were any laws broken. You've launched a formal investigation. What's the latest on that front?
We launched an investigation over 2 weeks ago now. We moved swiftly and decisively with a commitment to uncover the truth, to go wherever the facts and law take us. We launched an investigation. We sent notices to preserve evidence to the City of LA, to the Los Angeles Labor Federation, so that all of the materials and relevant information is available to us as we pursue justice and fairness here and make sure that no laws were broken and no rights were violated.
So far, you don't know. I mean, it's the early stages of it, I would imagine.
It's early stages. Yes, yeah. It's an ongoing, deep, sophisticated investigation where we're going to have to be comprehensive and thorough and accurate, and that's going to take some time.
All right, we end with something fun because we always like to have a little fun on this show. For people who may not know you, you were the captain of the soccer team at Yale, and every year there's this big bipartisan soccer game between legislators from Northern California and Southern California. Here you are. Bonta with the goal, dominated this game with two goals. The Sacramento Bee posting this video of this. What was this event like for you?
It was a lot of fun, and it was a success because I didn't pull a hammy, Alex. That's my goal, to get out injury-free. So I escaped with a lot of fun, no injuries, a lot of great time with my recently former colleagues in the legislature, and all for a good cause to raise money for charity. To do something I love. I grew up playing soccer. It opened up doors for me. It allowed me to see the world. It introduced me to people and experiences I never would have had. It's been a gift to me that keeps giving. And this is just another example of that.
Well, Miguel Santiago, the assemblyman, said the only way for his team to win was to take out Bonta. And they weren't able to do that. So you were able to win that. So congratulations on that. Our thanks to Attorney General Rob Bonta. Now a debate over Prop 30. Here are some of the ads and a description of what it is.
Support Prop 30. Prevent fires, cut emissions, and cleaner air.
Fellow Californians, I need to warn you about Proposition 30.
You've likely seen plenty of ads on TV about Proposition 30. You may have been confused by what it actually is. Prop 30 would impose a 1.75% income tax on those making over $2 million a year, which is about 30,000 Californians. That tax will expect to raise $3 to $5 billion annually to fund zero-emission car programs and wildfire prevention efforts. Prop 30 is overwhelmingly supported financially by the ride-sharing company Lyft, but it's also backed by the California Democratic Party and Mayor Eric Garcetti of Los Angeles, Mayor Breed of San Francisco, Garcia of Long Beach, Schaff of Oakland, and Liccardo of San Jose. So who opposes it? Governor Gavin Newsom, California Teachers Association, and the California Republican Party, to name a few. Prop 30 is the subject of our Issue Is debate this week. Eli Lippman is the executive director of Move LA. They are one of the first organizations to conceive of and draft Prop 30 back in 2020. Matt Rodriguez is the campaign manager for the No on 30 campaign. Welcome both. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks.
Eli, let's start with you. What is the affirmative case for Prop 30? Why should people pass this?
Yeah, you know, we've got a dire climate and air pollution crisis, extreme heat. We've got runaway wildfires, and Californians are dying at higher rates on cancer, on asthma, and heart disease. So we sat down, us, our organization, Move LA, my colleague Denny Zane, to write this measure. It was a group of grassroots organizations representing public health, representing environmental justice, environmental groups, and we said, how do we solve this problem? We need a sustainable, long-term source of funding to address runaway fires, toxic emissions from transportation like ships, locomotives, and heavy-duty trucks. And that's how we came up with this measure over 2 years ago.
And funding electric vehicles in a big way as well.
100%, yes. Funding electric vehicles for regular Californians, particularly low and middle-income Californians, so that they can actually afford them.
Some subsidies for them. Matt, why is that a bad idea?
It's not a question it's a bad idea. It's a question of who benefits from it. And ultimately, this measure is really in service of one company, the rideshare company Lyft. They've bankrolled $49 million so far between funds to the campaign and to the Democratic Party. It's basically 98% of funding. Basically, all funding has come from Lyft. Publicly traded billion-dollar corporations don't give money if they're not going to get something for it. And ultimately, Lyft has pledged to transition their vehicles to electric vehicles by 2030. They're going to transition those vehicles regardless. The question is, who's going to pay for it? Is the California taxpayer going to pay for it? Are California utility payers going to pay for that? Or are they going to pay for that? Our argument is, Gavin Newsom's argument is, a large, very large coalition argument is, that's their responsibility. And if they want to, they can do that.
Although Lyft is funding this, it's not just Lyft that's backing this, though. I mean, we want to put up on the screen a list of the coalition that's backing this. It includes organizations like the American Lung Association, the National Resource Defense Council, California Environmental Voters. Are they all doing this just to benefit Lyft?
Well, I think what you have to look at is those organizations. Look, everyone wants clean air, and we would like to transition electric vehicles. You know who wants to? Gavin Newsom. They put in $54 billion recently in the legislative process, $10 billion going towards electric vehicles. The difference is he had to do that looking at the entire state of California. So he was looking at utilities, counties and cities, public safety, the grid. None of that was done by Lyft. This was just done 100% by Lyft and funded 100% by Lyft to benefit them. We just want to come back to the argument. Lyft is not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing this to fund their own transition. They should do that themselves. We should not be in the business of going to the ballot every 2 years for corporations to write tax policy that helps themselves. That's a very, very bad precedent.
Eli, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have to push back on that. The claim that Lyft wrote it is categorically false, and numerous journalists have actually fact-checked that. Do you know how much money Prop 30 earmarks for Lyft?
Zero for Lyft.
$0.
But it does help the drivers of Lyft as
right.
well,
and
right?
And the text doesn't mention Lyft or any company by name in the measure. And I should know that. I wrote the text. I wrote the fine print. So show me the text where, you know, show me, Matt, you know, where is that text that says it's for Lyft?
Can I
respond? Yeah, go ahead.
If you look on page 15, look, of course Lyft was not going to write in there, hey, we're writing a tax increase for Lyft. First of all, Lyft has been researching this around the state for 2 years. I know that because I'm a political operative. I've known Lyft has been looking for this for years, number one. Number two, they have lobbied the state legislature now for 3 years trying to get taxpayer subsidies. They opposed the original bill that put the mandate for them to move to 90% renewables by 2030. They lost. You know what happened after that? It went to the California Air Resources Board. You know what Lyft did there? They lobbied them for taxpayer subsidies. They lost. Now they're at the ballot with $50 million worth of taxpayer, of
right,
trying to get taxpayer subsidies.
You worked for them 2 years ago. And so,
I did work with them 2 years ago, but I also, that was a completely separate issue. And what I was working with them on was different than them trying to get a taxpayer bailout, which is what this is.
But let me ask about the broader question, though, about whether this is what we should be doing. Californians, wealthy Californians, already pay the highest marginal tax rate in the entire country.
Right.
We have a $100 billion surplus. Is it really necessary for them to pay more in taxes? We can't find this money in that $100 billion?
Yeah, 100%. And we would say, you know, billionaires are opposing this. We have 30 billionaires who are opposing this measure. That's whose opposition is paying for the opposition. And they don't want to raise their taxes, obviously. But what we're saying is that we think that they should pay their fair share so that regular Californians, low-income, middle-class Californians, can get a rebate so that they can purchase a vehicle. You know, these billionaires can probably afford dozens of electric vehicles. Us regular Californians, we can't afford any of them. And, you know, the thing that gets lost in this debate is there's $80 billion for the electrification of our transportation system, right? Our zero emission vehicles. $40 billion of that is going to go directly into an equity fund. That means that only low-income Californians and those in disadvantaged communities can access those funds. So to say that this is some big corporate handout is just categorically false.
Can I respond to that? Then why is Lyft funding the entire measure? But number two, you know how much money is put into the grid for this? $0. Do you know how much money they're putting into wildfires? They talk about wildfires the whole time. 20%. Do you know how much money Lyft...
$20 billion. That's more money than the legislature has done this year or any other year.
But you didn't know that a year ago because Lyft was already on the street looking for signatures. So let me go through...
No, we were the ones looking for signatures a year ago.
Well, Lyft paid $15 million for them, so obviously Lyft was involved. No, but let me just go through this. Do you know how much... There was a $100 billion surplus, you're right, this year. We are in an inflationary period, highest prices in over 40 years. People are struggling to put food on the table. Let me tell you how much... Yeah. You know how much money Lyft spent and this entire coalition spent lobbying the legislature for additional money for wildfires? Zero. For how much for grid upgrades? Zero. For how much for extra for electric vehicles? Zero. They were always going to the ballot. And you want to know why? Because they need this money at the Air Resources Board for their transition to electric vehicles.
This isn't about them. It's about the Billionaires Club. It's about these 30 billionaires, a record in California, by the way, that are funding the opposition to this measure because they simply don't want to pay their fair share.
And Let me ask you this question, though. Why do you think most of the most beloved Democratic figures in this state, with the exception of the governor, are behind this?
Well, let me answer a couple. First of all, I would argue with the premise of that question. So, number one, he talks about billionaires. When I was a kid, my mother used to say, don't tell me half truths. This campaign sort of lives on quarter truths, with all due respect to my friend Eli. So a couple of things. First of all, did he tell you this? There's actually two no campaigns opened up. You know who's one of them? We have one, the California Teachers Association, the California Federation of Teachers. You want to talk about progressive groups? It isn't just Gavin Newsom. You know who else it is? The NAACP, California Teachers Association, the Federation of Teachers, California League of Latin American Citizens. So we have a bipartisan coalition. So the idea that they've got all of, they do not have all of the legislators. So some of this is just not true. And at the end of the day, the question is, who do you trust? Lyft, which is funding the entire measure, or Governor Gavin Newsom on climate? Voters have to make that decision.
And last word to you, maybe 15, 20 seconds.
Yeah, we think that this is an opportunity for voters to say yes on Proposition 30 because we need to spend a generation to working with $100 billion to clean our economy to ensure that every Californian can afford these new vehicles, these new trucks, these new locomotives, these new cars, so that we can have the clean economy that we want, the clean air that we've all desire and need in California.
Thank you both for sharing your perspective. Ultimately, it's up to the voters. We'll see. Polls show this thing could go either way. We'll see.
Our thanks to Matt and to Eli for joining us and for Attorney General Rob Bonta. Next week, our final show before the election. Last chance. Not sure who we're going to have on yet. Hopefully it's a big name. In the meantime, hope you vote, get educated, and reach out to us in social media. Let us know what you think of everything. I'm Alex Michelson. Have a great week.